Hey guys, welcome to the Into the Void podcast. I am your host, Scott Fardella, and my guest today is one of my oldest friends, Taylor. He will probably be a frequent guest in the podcast, and I thought since it's the very first episode that'll be available for download, that he'd be the first guest. Now, I'm going to apologize in advance for the audio quality. Normally, the way this is going to work is guests will call in via Skype or Facebook, and usually with a strong audio, or sorry, with a strong Wi-Fi connection, the audio isn't too bad, but Taylor was on his cell phone in his vehicle at the time, so it's bearable, and I cleaned it up the best I could afterwards, but I know it's not great. We'll improve it moving forward, but anyway, it's a pretty fun podcast. We got kind of silly, so enjoy. Yeah. So I was thinking, why don't you tell everyone how we met?
How we met?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
it's going back a few years.
Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So what year was that? Probably 2009?
I have no idea. Long time ago.
So, yeah, Scotty was originally dating my oldest sister. And, yeah, that's how we met. I was actually in the military at the time. I was out in Gagetown, New Brunswick. And then I came home for... I got posted back to Petawawa.
I'm pretty sure I remember... Sorry to cut you off. The first thing your sister told me about you was that horrible story.
What horrible story?
It was a dating story. It was.
Oh, was it my first night out in Fredericton?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Actually, we'll save that one.
All right, we can save that for another one.
But yeah, I came home for the weekend, and then that was the first time I'd met you. I heard a bit about you, but honestly, now that I think back on it, I remember you said something like, I was a little standoffish or something at the beginning, and it's funny now, looking back on like how long we've known each other and everything, it's like, it's weird for me to think I would have been that way towards you, but it was true. Like, I was, brother, you know, like, I
was it true? I don't remember. That honestly feels like so long ago. I don't remember at all. I don't remember.
I remember I was on the couch, and you were like, I think Jess was like, this is Scott.
Yes, I do remember that, because you were, I think, because you had just driven in or something, you were really tired, and you just couldn't be bothered to get up and look at me, so I was like, cool, all right, man, good to meet you.
Which is generally how I treat you when you enter a room now. Anyway,
treat my ilk, me and my family.
Yeah. You're like, hey, everybody, I'm here, I'm Scotty, like,
and then do you remember when your sister and I broke up? This was years ago, by the way, so don't feel bad. But it was like years ago, and your sister and I broke up. And I remember after a bit of time went by, we were like, so like, is it weird if we still like it, or is that?
Yeah, I don't know. I was like scared actually for the first little while, because I was like, shit.
Yeah, because like, we got really tight.
So it was, for a little while, it was like weird, but yeah, definitely, that's how we met.
Yeah, that's hilarious. And continue.
And it's funny too to put that in terms of like context with a timeline.
Yeah.
Like that seems like, I feel like things in my childhood are happened before that or something. It just seems odd.
You what?
It's really, really long time ago.
It's funny, I saw my friend Steve over Easter weekend. He was home, and
Do you have other friends besides me?
Besides you, yeah. I really only have like two friends.
There's great first and last episode for me. Everybody else in Sean.
Taylor's a jealous bitch, everyone, just so you know. Steve is one of those people, though, that I've been friends with him since like ninth grade, and he was one of those people where he moved away, and we talk a little bit every now and then, but we'll get together when he's home, and he's, I don't know, he doesn't complain if we're apart or whatever. He's not a nagger, you know? He's just like, we hang out when he's here, and nothing's different. It's great. It's great to have friends like that.
You're not like one of those friends who's like, literally probably sends you like a message every like couple weeks or a month. Like,
yeah.
Hey, what are you doing? I haven't heard from you though.
Yeah, like, no, not clingy at all. He's just like, we'll occasionally, we don't even really talk on social media. He'll just send me a text when he's home and he's like, hey man, I'm home. Is the store open? I was like, yeah, come by. And then he pops in and we chatted for a couple hours and caught up. And he went back to Ottawa and that was it. And I'll see him another year or so. And we'll just kind of leapfrog through life that way. Just
to be very honest, I have a few buddies like that just because of military time. A lot of them are gone across the country, everywhere, from literally like New Brunswick, all the way to BC and stuff. And there's a one of my like best friends to this day. This guy's like close as blood you can get. He was my gunner overseas.
Matt?
And anytime Matt shows up in town, me and that kid just either like go out, eat sushi, or go fishing. Like,
yeah. Would you say that you and Matt are better friends than you and I, or?
Hey, he and I did a tour together. That was a hard one to beat, but Scotty,
listen,
you're doing great, man.
You,
really
I dated your sister. That
no
might as well have been
different.
A tour. That was my Afghanistan. Just kidding, everyone. Just JK,
oh,
JK. what were you saying? So he was your gunner overseas. Continue, please.
Oh no, it was just he's just one of those buddies that I can literally like I'll call him up or he'll let me know well in advance before he even gets here.
I love those friends.
Last time
Steve was in town, it was over Christmas. And so he got a new job. He works at the Ottawa Carleton Detention Center, the provincial jail there. And so he had just started just after the cafe opened, or just before the cafe opened, I think. Anyway, and so he came back around Christmas, and he had been home for a couple of days, but he hadn't like sent me a text or anything. And then he finally came in, and he was like, got my appendix out, and he pulls up his shirt, and he's got that like triangular, he's got those three little dots, I guess, because that's how they do it now. They just go in right through around your belly button and just pull it right out or whatever. I don't know.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, that's what they do. They make three little incisions, I guess, one's for a camera and one's for their two for their instruments, and they go in and they
get your, like, a whole room of doctors.
It's nuts, man. It's actually really cool. They're little like incisions, probably no bigger than like the head of your pinky finger and the tip of your pinky finger, and then yeah, just three little like a little triangle and boop, it's out. But yeah, he just came back and he always comes back with these crazy stories of insane stuff that he's done at the prison. Yeah, he's scarred for life, I think. He's been there 6 months. Yeah, it's pretty neat. I remember when I was a kid, my grandfather had his appendix out, and I was in karate. I was during a karate lesson. They interrupted my karate lesson to tell me that my grandfather was having his appendix out. Apparently, it was a big deal at that time, but I didn't know. I was like, I just want
to. You know what's funny? As you were saying that, I was thinking back to Jesus. We are dating ourselves here, but like I was thinking back to when I was a kid too, and like. I don't know, you just learn shit about the body, and, like, you're learning about, like, an appendix bursting. I remember, like, the general, like, the feel around that conversation was always, like, oh, you, like, you have to get your appendix out, because if it bursts, It was like tonsils too. It was like tonsils were like another.
I don't know. That was that a thing? Were people like preemptively removing their appendixes?
No. Like, it was always just like the fear-based conversation. Like, when your appendix burns.
Tonsils, I do remember. Tonsils were a big thing when I was a kid. There was like every third kid in class was just getting his throat cut open.
I have mine, though.
It's insane.
I have them.
Yeah, I have mine too. I didn't. That was never a big deal for me.
Like, fuck it.
I wasn't one of those weak kids though that had weak ass throat. Got sick every week. I had a hearty immune system. My parents fed me good.
I was gonna debate that by using.
I could debate that right now. We had fried bologna when I was a kid. We had fried bologna when I was. I remember asking my parents, and we joke about this to this day. Yeah, I asked them one day if we were poor. I was like 10 years old, and I had to ask them if we were poor, because we were having fried bologna for dinner. They probably cried themselves asleep that night.
I didn't have to ask if we were poor. I knew we were poor. I was like, we live in a fucking tent. This is great.
Oh, a tent in Hawaii. You poor thing.
Hey, you do that, you make that comment, and then you wake up with a centipede or a fucking banana spider on your face when you wake up, and there's water running underneath your tent. And you
is that a real thing, a banana spider?
I literally joined the Army before I joined the Army. I should have got, like, pre-credit.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah. For bushwhacking before you actually had to.
Yeah,
your hair acted as a helmet at that age. Taylor had a nice old mop on him.
I had a good mop going. It was either a mop or a bowl cut.
Oh, that was my phone. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen.
Scott, do you have other friends besides me?
Pardon?
Are they texting you, those friends?
Yeah, I'll tell them to go away. Sorry. The reason why the sound is so shitty, ladies and gentlemen, is because Taylor is on his mobile device. And this is how we're going to do this from now on, but hopefully the sound will only get better as we go, and not worse. This is actually a pretty decent phone call. I'm with Freedom Mobile, and I got to tell you.
That is not a plug. We don't have any sponsors or anything like that.
This is not a plug. Their reception is dog shit. If Freedom had the network that TELUS had, I would happily plug their services all day, because they're actually an amazing company as far as what they offer. It's like half the price of any other phone company, but you get what you pay for. They have zero cell service, which is fine, because who makes cell phone calls these days anyway? But in these clutch moments when you're trying to do a podcast and you have to make a cell phone call, it does kind of matter. But otherwise, I get like 8 gigs, unlimited nationwide calling, which, I mean, it's kind of useless, but still, it's like $50 a month. It's not bad, other than the shitty cell service. But, you know, what can you do? You can't have everything. You know? Oh, frig. Stop. Stop. Whoever is texting me right now. I don't appreciate that. You're interrupting the podcast. You're going to hear this and you're going to feel bad. You're going to look back. It's the time. I don't know. I can't see it. I don't know who it is. My phone is face down on the table. It's 8:53 on Sunday night. Feel bad. Whoever this is, think about your life. Think about what you're doing.
While they're doing that, I want to talk about those fights last night.
I didn't see them, but, you know, I read about them, which is just not the same. That is, oh my God. I was thinking about before television, I guess, before recorded things, and they had to just commentate fights and hear it over the radio. Holy Christ, that must have sucked.
Yeah, I think we should have actually clarified that. I meant the UFC fights, not... Like, Scott doesn't just, like, find a fight.
Huh? No, I was reading. I'm talking about the fights, too. I was reading them. I was I was reading along with the...
And I'm clarifying that we're talking about UFC fights.
Oh, yeah, we're not, like, backyard pig fighters or... I don't know what that means, what? But... That's not a thing at all.
Okay,
all
right.
Dog fighters is what I meant to say.
Fight, okay, dude. I don't fucking know.
I grew up poor, all right? I grew up poor.
Oh boy.
I grew up in a daycare, actually. But anyway, sorry, continue.
Despite how long we've known each other, I apparently don't know anything about your past.
Go back to my pig fighting days. Grew up in the country, boy.
You got me trophies you haven't shown me.
Speaking of trophies, I won I won second place in a cutest baby competition. There's only two entries. I know.
That was the curse right there.
Yeah.
That's what made you lose your hair.
That's what made me grow into this grotesque troll like creature that I am.
You said it,
buddy. Yeah. Oh, it was good for my self-esteem, I tell you what. Man. Anyway, yeah. About those fights.
Derailed by Scott's history of...
I didn't really know about any of the other fights other than Rose Namajunas and Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Joanna, you're not looking very good, though, eh? That's very surprising.
Well, everything got sidetracked.
Hmm.
Yeah. Everything got sidetracked by probably the craziest 48 hours I've seen in MMA. Like, it was, I think I said to you earlier in the week, that was wilder than the first John Jones failed drug test, and then I hope I'm getting these right in order, but then the hit and run. I thought those were both, they were arresting him, and then he was going to be in court. This was freaking crazy, the shit that happened with Connor. Like, it actually, people have been using the term cross the line. That's the only way I can think of to describe this.
I mean, hitting a pregnant lady with your vehicle is crossing the line also, and then fleeing the scene. So I would put that right up there with this. But I guess what was so crazy about what Connor did was that he endangered other fighters. And I get that he probably was fired up and thought this would be a good way to raise publicity or keep his name relevant or whatever. And no doubt when the dust settles, this will be a big deal. Like, it'll get his foot in the door for the next fight. But it was super reckless to endanger the other fighters. Because like I said, we were talking the other day, him throwing that dolly at the bus, good God, if that had hit anybody going through that window and just... you know, cracks them in the head, hits them in the hand, breaks a hand, something like that, and ends their fight career or seriously injures somebody, you're fucked, man. And he just had a kid. That's so irresponsible and reckless.
That was the very first thought I actually had, because I remember when the very first video got released on social media, it was pretty grainy. It was like, it seemed like a really quick, like somebody had just very hastily got their camera out, you know, and they filmed this thing, and it was a guy... you know, black jumper, basically, with the dolly thrown it at the bus, and you can hear the glass shatter.
Yeah.
And at first, I didn't know what the hell this was.
Hey, you think it's at all suspicious that they had such HD video in the embedded of this whole thing going down? Where the hell did they get all that video?
they're with them 24/7. It's just whether or not they turn on the camera, right?
Yeah, but with Connor's crew, though.
All of a sudden, there's people, like, there was a confrontation before. The guys that were following Khabib knew that there was a confrontation before.
I guess.
Possibility for something to go kind of straight out of left field was there.
I like my conspiracy theories, but all right, I'll bite.
I don't buy any of that stuff. Dana, there are so many angles to look at this from, but the other thing I thought about was Dana, in the whole entire build-up, Dana White, president of UFC, in the entire build-up to this fight with Tony Ferguson and Khabib, he defended Connor in my eyes. I'm not saying that's fact. I'm just saying from what I could see, multiple times, because they wanted, it really sounded like the fans, the pundits, the critics, everything, they all wanted that, they all wanted Connor stripped of his belt, but Dana refused, basically, to outright strip him.
Yeah.
And then Connor showed up, pulled this fucking stunt, and basically the entire MMA community has just said, like, you, that's it, like, you, the last straw. And he acted like an idiot child too. Like I was trying to finish my earlier thought. Like, that was my first thought when he was running around smashing shit, was you parade your child around on social media a lot. I was like, do you not think that he's gonna have to I don't know, have some sort of perspective of who you are when this stuff is caught on camera. And let's back up too. There was the incident with the Irish gangster or whatever. There's the incident with him running into the octagon and yelling at the ref in Poland. Like, the list does kind of go, like, I'm barely touching the surface.
Yeah. Now, if I could play devil's advocate for a second, though, I think there's never been a fighter that's ever done anything like this, though. And not that this reflects his ability to fight, but his legacy and the fact that he'll go down in history as one of the most notable MMA fighters because of incidents like this. I wonder if he consciously thinks about that or if he just does things. You know, I wonder if he's like, I got to take this to the next level. So he flies over to the States. Like, he was in Ireland at the time. So he flies over to the States and then this causes this ruckus, throws a dolly through a bus window, probably not meaning to stir up shit, or not necessarily, not to stir up shit, but...
Have you ever had that happen on such a public scale? Like,
no.
Somebody that gathers up a bunch of their buddies in one country, like an immigrant, technically, and they're like, fuck it, get in the plane, we're going.
Well, no, who else has those resources? Nobody has that money. Who has that money? Where else could that have happened?
Lots of people, but just not people in Connor's position, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, like,
yeah, nobody else has been in his position before.
It almost was like this mini hit job, like this invasion. Like, it's so funny to think.
So ridiculous, man. Flies a private jet into... How much did that cost, do you think? Jesus Christ, to fly private.
Team 6.
Spent probably, you know, I can't even... I would imagine about 100 grand, let's say. 100 grand to fly private, all of his goons... Gas for the jet, pay the pilots to get here, and then land yourself in jail with 3 charges, 4 charges. That's crazy.
And a $50,000 jail bond. So
yeah, and then countless lawsuits in civil court. I imagine.
So, yeah, there's still a lot.
But if he lands that fight with Khabib in Russia, ooh boy, will that ever be worth it? My God. Do you know what kind of money he'll make? Holy shit.
There's a lot of, like, legalities that are going to have to play out before that even gets considered.
Yeah, well, for sure. It'll be 6 months to a year before he can fight again, I would think, while he's still battling the court system.
I
know. That's the unfortunate thing, is they could tie him up in court for a long time. He probably didn't think about that, but who knows? Who knows what will happen? We were talking earlier at the cafe about previous job experience. What's your worst job? What was the worst job you can remember?
Okay. The worst job I can remember. I gotta be careful not to put my mouth here.
Pick one from when you were younger.
Experience?
Huh?
Worst job experience?
Yeah, worst job experience. Like, worst thing you've ever had to do.
I think the military kind of makes this clean sweep of all those medals, but I have to say, if I'm excluding military time, actually, my very first job...
There's got to be something specific that jumps out at you.
What's that?
I said there's got to be something specific, like some incident that jumps out at you.
Yeah, so... My very first job was was working at a grocery store in the meat department, and I remember having to, like, make the ground beef, and just, like, some of the shit you had to clean out afterwards. And you got to remember too, you're working around with like cold cuts, but that are going to be sold. They have to stay cold, so you're
Yeah, that's gross.
Like, you lose feeling in your fingers, like, immediately. So, like, 5 minutes into
And what were you doing? Just packing ground beef?
Well, packing ground beef, but putting together, like, the kebabs and stuff. Like, but once again, you're in a fucking fridge.
Yeah.
So, your whole time, you are just slowly
getting paid, like, $8 an hour to pack meat. No, thank you.
Yeah, it was, I think that was about a 2 week stay, and I said,
man, I worked as a landscaper and a janitor for the school board. It was hilarious. My boss at the time, I was 16. I remember it was my second job. I worked at McDonald's, my first job. My second job was as a landscaper. I actually really liked it because it was outside. I think at the time I hated it. Now I look back and I'm like, God, I wish I could do that again. Because I was outside all the time. Got lots of sun. My boss was awesome. And he was one of the first guys that I really looked up to. Like one of my first bosses that I really looked up to because he was just a chill dude. He was doing...
He was just generally taller than me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody's taller than me, but listen. Listen. So I remember one time I was doing some weed eating around a sandbox at a school, and I hit like a wasp's nest that was in the ground. And so I'm just with the weed eaters whipping around, and I hit a wasp's nest, and I start getting stung 5 or 6 times, and I'm like, ow, ow, fuck, ah, and I just run away. I drop all my gear, and I walk away, and I go up to my boss, and I was a little intimidated by him because he's kind of a hard ass. So I'm like, hey, I won't say his name. Hey, man, I'm getting stung by a bunch of bees over there. And he's like, oh, are you allergic? I was like, no. He's like, then get back to work. And I was 16, so I was like, all right, man. And then I just keep getting stung because I'm like, I guess I got to finish this now. So... I got stung probably 13 times or something like that. Like, I get back in the truck and I'm all swollen and red. And he's like, what happened to you? You told me to finish. It's like, Jesus Christ. Oh my God.
And how long did you stay at that job for?
I did that for 2 or 3 summers, I think. So it was only the summer when we did it because it was when you're off school. But it was good money.
He does the wasp nest in the ground.
Weeds around the wasp's nest.
I gotta believe when you have to take it if you're not allergic.
We started carrying an EpiPen after that, just in case. I thought I was allergic. Can you grow out of allergic reactions? Like, can that?
I've heard you can.
Yeah.
I've heard there's some people that do that. There's weird ones, like, I know people develop.
Huh. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I suppose you really probably could go the other way. Interesting.
You think other than exposure to something, there's a way you develop that allergic reaction?
Like the antibodies to it? Like the way you get your body to not react to allergens?
No, I mean, like, actually, like, your body developing the actual, like, allergy.
I bet you that's like a genetic thing. Like, you just don't have, or I don't know, maybe it's a nutrition thing too. Maybe there's just something missing in your body. A couple of scientists over here talking about this. Neither of us have any idea. It's probably some simple thing that somebody's going to listen to and then just be screaming at their phone like, no, you idiots. It's
like,
this.
Do you know what Google is?
Yeah. Well, yeah, true. Yeah, we could Google that. I'll Google it after and update. You ever think about things that your parents told you when you were young? Like, remember my parents, you'd ask them to do something. They'd say just cuz, or they would tell you something that you think back about it now and it clearly wasn't the truth. They were just bullshitting, but they thought that you were too young to understand, so they just tried to say something to shut you up. You know what I'm talking about?
I know where, like, how the split happens for us in this conversation. Your upbringing in that sense, you're Vermont.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Like, I sure shit didn't just, like, if somebody was like, cuz, I'd be like, no. I'd be like, no, we're going to sort the shit out. Like, what's going on here?
See, my parents didn't put up with that. Like, they wouldn't have allowed me to ask questions. I'd have been like, well, but how come? And they're just like, because they said so. Okay. I'm still very confused as a 10-year-old child, but I will accept that answer because you're my parent. Bye. And then I'd just go off and make up my own thing. Or I would hear something from other kids and assume it was a truth. I was a naive, stupid child, man. I was so dumb when I was a young.
Considering like some of the locations I was like really just lucky to grow up in, I think I spent a lot of time like, it's as weird as it sounds, my any downtime that I had was always outside. We are not, ladies and gentlemen, there was a time before a cell phone and Wi-Fi access, and a lot of that was outside. And,
yeah, we spent a lot of time outside as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, and it was away from my parents. So, like,
I'll give you an example. I was trying to think of an example. I'll tell you one thing. My stepmom used to tell me, like, jokingly, but I didn't know this because I was dumb and young. She used to tell me that she was a witch and that she was, so she was probably like 35 or whatever at the time when I was asking. She'd tell me that she was 235. And I didn't know how to make sense of that because I was stupid and young and I didn't have any. I was like, oh, okay. All right.
I would have to know what age you were at to believe that.
But
for the most part,
well, it's not like I was in eighth grade. I was probably, well, this was when we lived in Amherst View, so we left Amherst View when I was in third grade, so I would have been 8 years old, less than 8 years old. Right? So, God, man. I don't know.
Okay, but once again, here's where the split is. It is weird that we do fall into these sort of different categories, but like the word witch.
Yeah.
That wasn't even like around my family, that wasn't like what they brought, like.
Well, yeah, your family was Christian though. You bring up the word witch and your family stakes you.
I never grew up believing in Santa Claus, Easter Bunny.
Did I just confuse witches with vampires? I said, did I just confuse witches with vampires? I said, if you bring up the word witch with your family, you get staked as if you're a creature of the night.
People just blank faces around. We're like,
well,
that explain.
Oh, man.
I do not understand the foreigner's accent.
Oh, my God. Man, no, every...
Yeah, that's what I mean, though. Those things were never rounded in. I've been asked multiple times in my life. They're like, oh, what did you do when you found out Santa wasn't real? I was like, laugh.
I'll tell you. I remember exactly where I was. I was probably way too old to be believing in Santa. I swear to God, I remember the moment. I don't know why I was thinking about this even. I might have just got off the phone with my friend because we still phoned each other at that time. I lived out in the country and there was no internet. So if you wanted to talk to your friends, you had to call them like a fucking peasant. And maybe we just got done talking or something. And I was thinking to myself, like, no, I'm going to ask her. I need to know. So my mom was in her bedroom doing something or whatever. And I went in. I was like, Mom, is Santa Claus real? And she took a second. And I must have been in like sixth grade, like way too late to be believing in Santa. I was probably the last kid in my class. And the teacher's like, no, nobody tell him. Nobody tell Scott. And so my mom's like, takes a second and then just shatters my world. She's like, no, he's not. It was always us. It was always us.
I feel like that's an interesting, like, it would seem weird to me that, like, kind of, would you say your parents had, like, a hard-nosed kind of approach to your upbringing?
depends on the parent. My parents are separated, so
yeah.
Not really. No, I don't think so. Actually, neither of them.
But if let's say your dad, and I know your dad, if you turn around, like you were using an example earlier, you were like, if they said, because I'm the parent, and you know, you just had to take that. I find it odd that that style of parenting, and I mean, this is the norm, but I just thought about this. I find it odd that that style of parenting is also the one that's synonymous with passing on the myths and the legends of, like, Santa Claus. It doesn't seem weird, like, that, like, kind of blue-collar, like, approach is also, like, in love with these fantasy ideas?
Yeah. I think if I had to guess, I would think that the more chatty parents, the parents that have more conversations with their kids and take the time to explain why they can't do things and blah, 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 and understand. I think that really comes down to a better understanding of child development and how their brains work. The parents that take the time to explain to their kids why they can and can't do things probably understand or have a better understanding of the depth of, like, not that it's traumatic, but when you...
The compounding effects.
Yeah, the compounding effects of constantly lying to your kids. Not that there's anything wrong with it, because I think if I ever have kids, I probably would let them have that fantasy too, about the tooth fairy and all that shit. But I would just have that conversation with them when they're ready, and I would talk through it. I probably... Not that my mom didn't, but... you just have to be prepared for that, I think, for that when the shoe drops and they're like, hey, are they real? And you're like, no. And then their head explodes. You just have to be ready to pick up the pieces, I guess. I don't know. I've struggled with that, actually. I've thought about that. Would you, if you had kids, would you let them believe in Santa Claus? Or would you just be like, yeah, but okay, but there's the other side.
I would tell them it like it was a story, just like they were learning a story about Batman or something like that.
Okay, but here's the thing, because now
he's a really cool character.
They're gonna go to school with other kids that do believe in Santa Claus, and they're either gonna fuck it up for them, or they could be like, "Hey, why don't we participate in this fantasy? Like, it sounds fun." I want to have fun with those kids. I want to participate in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy, and they don't get to have any of that? I don't know.
No, I could say you could extrapolate that on such a, like, deeper level too. Like, you could take that and look at it, like, on a religious level. Like, you're going to have, like, a Muslim go to school with a Jew and a Christian and a Hindu. They all can go to school respecting that one believes in reincarnation, and one believes in a permanent afterlife, and they're just going to be able to go to school.
Yeah, but isn't there like some allowance for just letting kids be kids? Or is that part of being a kid? Does that have to be part of being a kid?
I think being a kid is a lot about discovery. I think if we plant a lie in front of them to walk into, that's kind of like devious.
It comes off as
very distracting to just, like, give them a fantasy story.
It is a little weird, isn't it? It does seem weird. Not that it was like... I feel like I came off all right. Like, I came out unscathed with you know, having my world shattered when I found out Santa wasn't true. No, it is true. But not from that. Not from that. I mean, well, maybe. I go to therapy and he's like, when did you find out Santa wasn't real? 8th grade?
Strictly electroshock therapy. They're like, we're not even going to talk to them.
Yeah. We're going to need to give you a full lobotomy. Get over this shit. And it all goes back to that moment in 8th grade. 8th grade. It was like 6th grade. I went to Catholic school. That was different. Oh, God. It was. It wasn't Catholic high school. It was public school. It was so weird. I remember when I think back. So I experienced working for the school board. For those who don't know, I used to work with children with autism, and I worked in the Limestone District School Board for many years. And I have experience working with kids now. So I understand children with issues and had separated parents. And I look back and I think about the friends that I had and what was going on in their lives. And I remember seeing it as a kid, their behavior and how their behavior was different from mine and how their behavior was different from everybody else in the class. Because we had a couple kids who had lost their parents or whatever, lost a parent, and their upbringing was very different. And now I think back and I remember one of my good friends who was his behavior was like off the walls, and we thought it was hilarious. And now I'm like, that kid's probably in jail now, you know, because now I know that behavior is such a red flag. Like, ooh, you are so at risk for going to prison when you're older. Poor kid. I don't know where he is now.
And then you start looking more closely at that and you're like, oh shit, I was surrounded by those people my entire life. That was my conditioning.
Yeah, man, the one incident that comes to my mind is this French teacher that we basically made quit his job. We were in a portable, so he was on his own. Like nobody else could hear the noise that we were making because we were in the portable, and it was like the prisoners were running the asylum. It was insane, man. We tormented that guy. It was chaos. Nothing was getting taught. Kids were just climbing under desks, throwing shit, flipping stuff, and he was just almost in tears, screaming at us at the top of his lungs. He made my friend stand behind a door with the door like closed. Yeah, but
triangle.
Yeah, he's pinned in the triangle behind the door, just staring through the window, and that was his punishment. Just so arc. Yeah, I was gonna say, might as well made him wear a dunce cap. And this was only like.
Did you ever have substitute teachers like? I mean, other than that, did you ever have substitute teachers just like almost not be able to keep it together? Like,
yeah.
I had a substitute teacher in grade five, who snapped and threw chalk at us because it wouldn't calm down. I was like, she literally, like, she, like, reverted. Like, she went primitive.
Oh, man.
Literally lost her ability to communicate as, like, a functioning adult human and just was like, and she started, like, whipping shit out of her. It was fucking weird.
I don't think I've ever seen that in the years that I was working in the schools. I never saw that. Like, I never saw a teacher snap like that. I never heard of it happening. And I just... No, I know, but I've never even seen that in my career. And I'm thinking, like, I wonder if it had something to do with the training they were given. I bet it does. The level of knowledge as far as, like, how to manage a classroom has probably come a long way since we were kids, you know? Like, teachers must be better prepared.
Terrible.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said they're just so much more prepared now for classrooms. I remember I had a teacher, same school, and he was just this geeky older gentleman who still, I don't even know if this is true, but the rumor was that he still lived with his parents, his mom, and he was basically like Seymour Skinner from The Simpsons. And I remember at a school dance one time, I'm like cool 7th grade or whatever, 8th grade, hanging out with my friends, and my friend sidle off, and he sees me standing there alone, and he just sides up to me, and he's like, so you playing any good shoot 'em up games lately? And and he does the finger guns as he says it. So he's like,
what?
He's trying to relate to me on that, and I was like, in my head, I'm thinking like, no, you fucking loser, because I was a kid, and this is a teacher, and he just, now, I don't know, I feel like he's trying to relate, I get it, and probably he spent a lot of time on his PC playing Quake or Doom or something.
Well, if you maybe done the nice man the courtesy of sticking around for the rest of that conversation, he probably would have shown you that he has a lot of really nice.
No, you know what? You know why I didn't have any tolerance for that guy? Because that's the same guy, he snapped on us one time and told us all we'd end up working in a gas station, and he's like, he goes... He goes, and you won't even get that because they're all full serve now. Or they're all self serve now.
Did he thought of a point there.
No, I did. I fucked the delivery up. My bad, everyone. My bad. That was a failed joke. I apologize. Oh, it was good times. Good times getting through Catholic public school. Catholic elementary school, rather.
Catholic public school was fun.
Did you ever have to take communion? Like, that's a weird thing. Communion. Did you ever take communion?
No,
elderly male sets a wafer on your tongue and then touches your forehead. It's bizarre.
For me, that was like a completely different experience.
It's the body of Jesus, sir. It's the body of Christ. That's what they say. And then they touch your forehead. They make a sign of a cross. I didn't buy it either. After about sixth grade, I was like, what am I doing? This is bizarre. I remember having like a panic attack because I think it's sixth grade. You have to have confirmation. And that for Catholics, if I'm not mistaken, means that you're confirming that for the rest of your life you're going to be a devout Catholic. And I didn't, I was in sixth grade, but I had the wherewithal to be like, hey, that's a long time, the rest of my life. I don't know if I can commit to this shit. That's crazy. So I bailed and I didn't do it. And thank God my parents didn't make me. But I had a real like existential crisis at that time. Dip in oil?
So,
get a little balsamic on there?
What's that?
You get a little oil and balsamic? Make a little...
That kind of a church.
A little appetizer out of that thing, you know?
So, well, you'd think so, but... So, they started, like, they would go up and down the aisles, and they would, like, body of Christ, this is the blood of Christ, and they'd give you a drink. I remember being, like,
give
nine
me that
or
wine.
Ten, and I just being, like, hey, Ken... I'm down with this whole religion thing too, but we both know this is grape juice. I hated it. I couldn't stand it.
What are we pretending?
Like, every time they're like, this is the blood of Christ, I'm like, why are we lying about this?
I cannot recall a single, and I went to church a lot. I cannot recall a single time that I went to church where I wasn't bored to fucking tears. Like,
oh my God, man.
The most
absolutely
boring. I never once did the pastor or whatever the priest tell a riveting tale. He always picked a sermon that was just some bullshit, like, and never repeats. Like, I never remember going to church and being like, oh, we heard this one last week. Never. You know? It was weird.
The only time I would listen is if they were, what's the last book of the Bible?
I have no idea. Exodus? No.
Is it Exodus?
Oh.
No. I feel like we're really not doing our own.
Hey,
like,
do you ever think when the priest is preparing their sermon for the following like Sunday or whatever, that he's just sitting at home writing his speech out and he's like, oh, this is gonna be a fucking banger. He's like, you know, he's got his tongue on his lip and he's just like, fuck yeah. Mom spaghetti. Vomit on his sweater already. This is gonna be fire.
Oh God.
And then he gets up there and he's like,
we are gathered here today.
You've got one shot, one opportunity. all right. Listen, my laundry is ready to be folded, so I'm going to go down and grab that when we wrap this up. It's been almost an hour. I think that's enough for our very first episode. Anything else you want to say?
Been fun.
Yeah, it's been fun. Let's do this again. Again, if anybody is interested in being a guest and having these types of conversations, get in touch with me on Instagram or send me a message or drop by the cafe. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Take care.